In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Starting another hour here, getting off with our headlines. These are brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or at DoralKia.com. Miami Dolphins get their first win of the season yesterday, beating the New York Jets 27-21. I don't know. Did you watch any of Broncos Bengals last night, Leroy?
No, I
can't
did.
Blame you. 28-3 for the Broncos.
That's why he got to make $100 million.
Who?
A year.
Who's going to make $100 million? Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
Everybody was saying Browning was the, he can hold down the fourth? Yeah.
You got Jamar Chase tweeting now.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
What was he saying?
He was like, just leave me alone. Don't bother me. Because I think he had like 6 yards or something yesterday.
That's to the fantasy managers probably.
I understand.
Yeah.
Tough week with neighbors, now Tyreek, now Jamar Chase.
Mike Evans is out. Ooh, man.
Tough sledding right now. It's a wild thing going on. But, yes, that was a terrible game yesterday. The Panthers won in preseason overtime over the Carolina Hurricanes. Did I read right that Giannis has COVID, that he's not at camp right now? I thought that I was like, am I reading 2021? Like, what do you mean? That happens?
Well, his brother had
it.
His brother had it, and they still had him fly to the NBA Finals to give them energy and spirit.
Oh, yeah. Well, he gets to play by different rules if you're Thanesis.
Listen, if you want Giannis for the next 2 years, you do whatever he needs. So you got to sign little bro or big bro.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
It says Giannis not in attendance for media day because of COVID, but addresses future with the Bucks.
I hate it here.
What?
Get me out. Get me to a beach.
Wait, come on. You see, why? Minus one.
Why?
Minus one. Why? Why do you automatically?
Minus what? One.
Just, we're just throwing some things out there.
You know, Orlando has beaches.
Not good ones.
Yeah, but Orlando's not known for their beaches.
Are you
going
to go Cocoa Beach? Actually, he's got a pretty fun bar scene. That's about it, though. If you like daiquiris.
He looks. Giannis definitely looks like a daiquiri type of guy, bro. Oh, you see this daiquiri. It's good. Yeah, I can see Giannis. Yeah, Giannis could be in Orlando.
Hmm.
Look at that. You see how I just shut down Tobin's.
Does it mean Orlando? Could you really picture Giannis going to Orlando playing with Bum Casserole?
Well yes. Drive a couple more hours down.
Remember, he's close to Disney World. My family loves Disney World. Baby number 5.
Do you know how fast we could get him to Disney World? Like, Mickey Arison could get him the fastest plane to get him to
Disney
World.
You know how fast he could get to Disney World?
And if he wants a scenic ride,
if he lives in Orlando, he can walk.
Get sick of it. You want to make it special for the kids.
The anticipation has to build, you know?
It says, Bucks owner Wes Edens on Giannis Antetokounmpo's future. This is from Underdog NBA. I had a great conversation with Giannis in June, and he made it clear that he's committed to Milwaukee and he likes having his family here. Giannis just 1 hour later. I cannot recall that meeting.
He lies. He did not say that.
Swear to God.
Hey.
Let me see it.
Tobin.
Come here.
Tobin.
What?
Can you stop?
Told you.
Is this a credible source?
It's Sports Illustrated Bucks. Hmm. I don't know what their vetting system is.
No, I'm talking about the tweet.
Hard to say.
Look at you.
Got a lot of retweets.
I
don't know if it's Sental. I don't know. There had to be something going on. Why was Shams all summer being like, it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Crazy. And then they just, he didn't think that these crazy Bucks owners would be like, you know what? We'll pay Damian Lillard $25 million a year not to be here to get flee. Miles Turner. Giannis is like, man, didn't see that one coming. They really like me here, huh? He goes, you know, we got Kuzma still here, right? Don't know how this is really going to work out. Anyway, the Heat, they just, I guess, wrapped up their first practice. According to Anthony Chang, boots on the ground from the Miami Herald, Pelle Larsson did not practice today because of a left quad contusion he suffered in Eurobasket.
Well, okay.
He worked on the side. And Tyler Hero obviously did not participate because he had a shark tooth bone.
I've always found that odd. Right? You go into camp hurt. How does that go for your season?
I don't know. I mean, I think Pelle Larsson just lives his life bruised because he's just running into people at all times.
Well, I would say the exception to that and why I don't make a bigger deal about it in basketball is because a lot of times they play in all these events across the world. And so sometimes you just need to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why I'm not making a big deal about it. But, you know, when you say hurt it in Euro ball, like, yeah, I can understand.
I saw Spo said that Terry Rozier lost 10 to 12 pounds this summer. I was like, huh.
No, that was
the he looked a little lighter.
Contract year?
He did. We ran into him. He wasn't like really feeling it like he was before.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
You know what else? You know what else makes you lose weight? Stress.
Oh yeah.
Or gain it. I don't know.
Or gain it. Yeah, maybe he's an. I mean, you know, maybe he's not an emotional eater. I don't know. He's just like, can this please get cleared? It was a Hornets game.
I said it yesterday. I was like, he looks smaller, lighter. And then Leroy was just like, yeah, because we've been hanging around Beast all day.
He can't help himself. He fat shamed Nick Folk last night.
Well, no, he wasn't necessarily shaming them. He was just saying they were very tall. You know, we had Kalel Ware.
Wait a minute. Dude, Nick, come on.
Let me ask you a question, though. All right?
What?
Look, I love Nick Folk. But Nick Folk's 40 years old. And right. This man is kicking 50-plus yard field goals.
58-yard field goals.
Now, listen, I've looked at everything, Leroy. This man has kicked in great elements. Like, the weather has been very good for him in the first four games that he's played. But there's no way old-ass Nick Folk could be kicking a 58-yard field goal like that with room to spare.
You think we got
that juice
balls?
That was good from anywhere, from 65.
You know what's crazy, Vlad? He's 40, and that was his career long.
That's what I'm saying.
So
something's going on.
All of the records at 40 years old, 38 years old.
You're not supposed to
the home run record.
Could you juice?
Everybody immediately went.
Mm-mm.
Come on, Barry.
Hey, listen.
Can they juice a football?
They can juice a leg.
They've juiced baseballs before. Like, they'll wind them tighter, and that makes the ball.
I will say this, and every year. They kind of tweak the rules of what a kicker can do to the kicker balls. That's why they have a K on them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they do with the kicker balls, right, is they wet them, right,
mm-hmm.
Then inflate the hell out of them, and then throw them in the dryer, and then deflate them to game so the leather is soft. They've always done that, and then they scratch them up.
These kickers
That's
are up
why
to
kicking
something.
Balls are there because they got to scratch the wax off.
No, these kickers are up to something, dude. They're up to something. I think Nick Folk blew the cover.
65 yards, 60 yarders, like it's nothing.
Dude, 58 yards from a 40-year-old man with room, like that was good from 65.
No, it was crazy. It was a hell of a boot. And I'm like looking at the television. I'm like, that's the Nick Folk? Like he's still doing it? Like and then he just goes out there and he just. Blasts one.
This is his third tour with the Jets.
What the hell's going on here?
Why are you treating the Jets like Nom?
Bro, if you have the PTSD that I have, yeah.
Say this is his third tour.
I'm looking at his career. In 2019, he was kicking for the Arizona Hotshots.
Really?
What the hell's going on here with Nick Folk?
I don't know. What the hell's going on when that's the best kicker you could find?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, he's figured out something. Found
hey, by the way, time out. Speaking of kickers, hey, Jason Sanders, when are you coming back?
I don't know. Good question.
We haven't heard his name in quite a while.
I haven't heard his name at all, like for the longest.
What do you think
Did
is
they
more?
Put him on IR?
I don't know.
What do you think is more likely here to happen, though? Is it that the kickers, because we already know that the punter has basically been infiltrated by all of Australia. Like, even Bethune-Cookman had an Australian punter.
Yes.
But, like, is what's going on here? Do we have a Balco ring going on here with the kickers, or do they find some trick with the ball?
There's got to be a Balco ring. I'm going to tell you why. Because they all hang out. They all play golf together with Leroy. So, therefore, there's some trickery going on.
There's some Jose Canseco.
I will say this. On Friday and Saturday golf during the season.
See how I got him?
The punter was always involved.
See how I got him? Yeah, man.
The punter.
There's something special going on with the special teams, Tobin. I believe
I think you're right.
Something.
I think you're right, dude. It just doesn't make sense.
Like, from it's either three things you said the other day. It's either three things are going to happen with a kick now. It's going to go in from deep. It's going to get blocked. Oh, it's going to get blocked and returned for a touchdown.
Because it's more likely now that guys miss extra.
Yeah, they don't really miss.
Yeah, it's more likely to miss an extra.
It's crazy. They don't really miss.
Yeah, it's almost like the extra point is more difficult than 50 yarders.
Yeah.
Now. It's ridiculous.
It's too close.
It's almost like they've juiced the football too much.
It's definitely that, because it's to the point where you see during the end of games, you see teams, instead of getting a little bit five more yards, maybe make it a little bit easier for the kicker? No, we'll just hand the ball off, get 2 yards, put yourself in center the ball in the right position so we can kick a 55-yarder or plus to win a game.
That was unheard of.
Do you think he hangs out with anybody on that team?
Who, Nick Foles?
Yeah.
No, he's holding in practically the whole team.
What is like? Is that like a Jets rule? You got to have a 40-year-old? Like, they lost Aaron Rodgers?
I know on kids' day he might have two of his kids that's in college. That's always an indication of how old you are when everybody got a little bit of kids running around the facility, and then you got 2 grown-ass kids.
I'll tell you another indication that you're old. When your grown-ass kids are being looked at, maybe, you know, if you have a daughter, your grown-ass daughter's being looked at by your teammates.
Well, that I thought for a second, I was like, is
by
this
your young teammate, a rookie coming in from Missouri.
Yeah. Right? Well, I thought, Vlad, I was like, oh. Did he, like, is there another folk, like a Grammatica family tree?
That's what I thought. And then I saw that face, and I'm like, nope, that's the OG.
Nah, that's Nick Folk.
That's
man.
The Nick Folk.
That's the original Nick Folk, yes.
I mean.
Drafted in 05.
They should do them pictures on, you know, like on X where they show the evolution of an actor, like the actress. They show them
like
when
then and now?
18,
then and
20,
now? Yeah.
25. Yeah. Because. I mean, I don't ever.
Oh, it was 07 draft. I'm sorry.
I don't ever remember Nick Folk not being thin.
Oh, yeah. He was
so
always
that
portly.
Caught me off guard. That caught me off guard just right there.
Well, you do know when you get old, Leroy, you do start eating a little bit better, hopefully.
Maybe that's his cover for his juicing, you know, like Bartolo Colon.
Ah, Fatolo.
Which is
I love
which
him.
Which is something I will never understand.
The fatter he was, the better he played.
Oh, man. All right, we'll take
I mean, that's what happened to old boy that threw for the Yankees.
Oh, CeCe? Yeah, CeCe started losing weight.
CeCe sucked.
CeCe, I ain't old. He even tell you himself. He'll tell you that skinny, it was good for his health and the you know, the rest of his life. But in his career, baseball career, fat CeCe was better than skinny CeCe.
Two things, yeah.
CeCe took that Luther route. Remember when Luther got skinny?
Woo, 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 woo. Yeah.
Two things you shouldn't do. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you're CeCe Sabathia.
Outburst.
If CeCe Sabathia is fat, stay fat. I remember when Dontrell, like, they tried to mess with the leg kick. I'm like, don't do that. That's his thing.
Oh, the high leg kick, yeah.
Check this out. Tobin, why would you say that? Say that again.
The high leg kick.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Because you was a big fan of skinny Tua.
No, I wasn't.
No, he wanted Portland.
I wanted fat Tua.
No, he wanted after Tua got hurt.
No, dude. No. I'm not gonna let you play that. I said from the jump I hated skinny Tua.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it.
He wanted
so
fat
is
Tua.
He's in between right now, right?
He's,
he can move a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, he's all right. He's fine. I mean, he's like telling me last week he's basically acting like he's got porcelain ankles. I was like, oh great. Now the ankles, the hips, this guy's a walking game of operation.
What if that was all a front so that if he does something like athletic like he did yesterday, he could smile and be like, eh, yeah.
Yo, so you think he's like it's like the fight camp when they drop the rumor that somebody's been cut or
knocked
down
in camp.
Right,
right, right. So that when he,
I did that one time.
Oh, you did?
I am, because you know they were so interested in injury and how you feel and whatever, and so, so 1 week I was 100% fine, right? And they go, "Hey, how's such and such? I saw you come out of the game." I say, "What?" Oh, and so, and I thought about it a minute. I said, "Well, I hope I can make it next week, but I won't be 100%. And so then the next week, the team that we played, you know, they was yelling some craziness about he hurt his right leg, right? His right leg is sore or something like that, which is fair game. I'll put it out there, right? But perhaps I told a little fib, because when dude came and he went down to hit me on the leg and I hit him, he go, "Hey, man, you're not hurt."
Got him. I was
like, "Hey, man, like," I said, "they stop listening to the, don't turn it on TV." So, yeah.
Take a break. More to come here. On,
we call that a little gamesmanship.
Little gamesmanship, dude. Yeah. More to come here on the show. We're back after this. All right.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with ya. Happy Tuesday to everybody. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, the channel. 104.3 WQAM on YouTube. Miami, 104.3 WQAM on Twitch. Miami Dolphins victorious yesterday over the New York Jets in not the greatest football game you've ever seen in your life, but it was a win. And I think that is, you know, the most important thing. I mean, I heard that Aaron Glenn was furious with his team, rightfully so, after that game.
Yeah, 20 fumbles.
20 fumbles, 20 penalties, over 100 yards of penalties. Not a great performance by the Jets. The Dolphins, though, opportunistic, which was nice to see. That was finally some complimentary football, taking advantage of their first turnovers of the year after Anthony Weaver was calling for violence. They didn't act very violent.
Well, I asked Jordan Brooks that, and he said, "Yeah, they did violence." And I'm like, "I don't know if y'all did violence."
What did he see? He's like, we were.
Oh, yeah. That was the key. That was the, you know, that was indicated all throughout the week, you know. And then they did this thing where, you know, one of the players interview a player.
Oh, yeah.
So then
they felt like it was one win mixing. Let's go to Cutesville.
Fun. So yeah, his boy who caused the first fumble asked him some questions.
Jack Jones,
and all
or
that,
Dotson.
Yeah.
Dotson.
But I think it was Dotson.
Yeah, Dotson had that one on Fields. So that Fields, man, like, what do you think about him? Because, like, he had that.
I like Fields.
He had that incredible play on 4th and 1.
I like Fields because of the fact that he gives you what you need as a quarterback. You have to have mobility, and he can get at any given moment. He can make a 4-yard run or what could be a negative play into a positive play. I just felt like they should have thrown the ball more. Like, I don't understand why they didn't. Props, you know, who deserves props to, from last night's game. The Finns offensive line. Gave up no sacks.
They did a great job. They replaced right guard. They put Cole Strange there. They got rid of that Brunskill who ruined the last game. And Keon Smith, obviously, they don't think is ready. They played a very good game. They played a pretty good game. I mean, a couple penalties here and there, but nothing too bad. They did have a bad snap by Brewer. I was like, oof, that was. Usually, I'm like looking at media. I'm like, oh, that was Tua's fault, and I'm like, nope, that was definitely the center's fault. He threw a knuckleball to him. I was like, what the hell is that, dude? That thing is crazy when the snaps go wild, and thankfully they were able to fall on it and keep things going. But man, I was nervous as hell when that thing was in the air. Nuts. Absolutely wild. So good for the Dolphins getting themselves a win. Miami Heat, they are back in the fold at training camp. They'll get preseason going this week. I saw that Tyler Hero gave some quotes about his pending contract, which we did not get into with him yesterday, although Tyler was a lot of fun to speak to. But he said to Ira Winderman, this was in the Sun Sentinel, on his contract. He says, quote, I expect to get something done. His window for an extension, it opens up on Wednesday. It's a really strange thing because he's only got like a 3-week window. So it's like they could either give it to him, the window opens up on Wednesday, and then they got till October 20th to decide. Otherwise, it kicks to the summertime.
So basically, you have right up until the season starts.
Pretty much, yeah.
To give him an extension or wait till after the season.
Or you got to wait, and then that could turn into a 4-year extension.
Which is a little bit more money and more money.
He said on if he doesn't get a deal done, quote, I'm not going to lose my joy, he said with a laugh. I ain't going to lose my joy.
Wow.
Now, I have to feel like he was set up being asked that. I don't know how that was set up, the question. I feel like somebody, I feel like Ira or Andy, whoever, whichever writer asked, had to be like, are you going to lose your joy? And he's like, I'm not going to. There's no way he pulls that right out. That's just too cutting.
That's crazy.
That's
to
too
lose
cutting.
My joy out the gate?
That's too cutting. He was saying he was talking about more from Ira. He says further, Hero said he's not caught up in the numbers. All right, even outsiders fixate on his eligibility for a 3-year, $150 million max extension. Quote: It's not as important as you all think. I will say that because it's not important to me. Being here is important, but being here at a respectable number, I should say, for me, I have a number in my mind, as I did in my last contract, and that's why I didn't accept the max, because I wasn't going to get pressed on it, and I'm not pressed on it now. And I feel like a lot of people have put out there that it's $50 million or nothing, and it's not that. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I want to be here, as I've said, but it's about respect at the end of the day, so we'll see what happens. I find this to be a very fascinating thing, because one, I would say Tyler Hero, who is a very good player, and I like Tyler. And he's one thing I respect about Tyler, he's taken a lot of stuff on the chin. Like, he hasn't run from anything. Now, he hasn't performed in the playoffs since he was a rookie, but he's been a very good player. But I respect that he's taken all that stuff on the chin, and he's handled all of it, right? But I would say, if you're going to look at what are his biggest flaws, one of them has been durability. Now, this is a weird thing. Like, I don't understand what this is. He has a extra bone in his foot that he's had that just became too painful to play with. He didn't get anything put in there. He's just explaining to us, no, I was born with this extra foot bone thing.
Is he an X-Men?
I guess. He's like got Antonio Alfonseca ankles. I don't know.
I was about to say that, but, you know, I didn't want to.
Yeah, El Pupo. Like, I don't know what's going on there, Vlad. But whatever it is, he's going to miss time. And it sounds like he's going to miss. He said yesterday it was in the 8 to 12 range.
That sounds like January to me.
He was pressing a little bit more on some wiggle room. And Tyler usually likes to get right to come back. You know, it's not like I don't think he wants to kind of be all the way back. I think he wants to be all the way back. Now, Spo said yesterday that he's like, no, he's going to be back sooner than later, which is like, hey, you better get your ass back. I don't know what to make of that. But I will say, I think that is going to be something the Heat are going to be paying attention to when it comes to this. And how could it not affect what their decision-making is going to be with this? Unless Tyler Hero is going to take a super discount, like, he says, and this is crazy with the numbers, so I understand what I'm saying, but unless he's going to be like, I'm going to do 35 a year, you know, give me a $5 million bump every year, and I'm good, baby. If he does something like that, then the Heat will be like, all right, sign you up, dude. But, you know, okay, if his number is $45 million a year or $43 million, are the Heat rushing to go do that deal right now? I don't know. I feel like Tyler's going to have to he's going to have to give a real, and by the way, I see what some players are making who I think Tyler's better than making in the 40s, Brandon Ingram is making 40 a year.
Oh, you pocket watching.
Just say what the facts are. What is the old Tua term? The market is the market.
Yeah, that is.
That's all I'm doing. It is what it is, Vlad. That's, you kind of have to in this sport. You know, half the sport. And by the way, they're all pocket watching. That's literally what they all do. Austin Reeves is looking at Tyler Herro and going, I'm going to see what Tyler Herro is going to make. And then I'm going to go in there and I'm going to say, I want that. Cam Thomas. There was quotes that Cam Thomas was looking at. He's like, I'm going to see what Tyler Herro is going to make. A lot of people are looking to see what Tyler Herro is going to make because the Heat are in this position right now where they're like, all right, we've paid Bam. That's the guy we've locked into the max.
He's the flag. He's the franchise.
He's the guy. He's their guy. But Tyler Herro is like, okay, do we lock into both these guys? Because they just both got curb stomped by the Cavaliers. So, yeah, it's I guess, tougher timing for Tyler. But this injury couldn't have come at a worse time. There's no doubt about that. And when he says that he's been looking this entire summer for ways to not have surgery, it's because he knows this is one of the biggest knocks on him when it comes to an extension. You have to know. So it's good that, I guess, he's not, when he tells Ira, we're not hung up on the max. I just want to say, good. But I can't imagine if the Heat have to come to a decision in this in essentially 3 weeks from Wednesday, I think they got to see it. Unless he's given a super discount, I think they got to see what Tyler's like when he comes back.
Yeah, I don't think they should be in the habit of just throwing away big money. Now, what if they did a 2 or 3 year deal?
Well, it can only be 3 years. It can only be okay. The max it could be this window coming up on Wednesday is 3 years, 150. But it could be like that's the three. I suppose they could do a 2 year extension, but then it can be up to 4 years in the summer. I just think that for the Heat standpoint, Leroy, it's like
you can't do it.
You can't. We'll wait till the summer. Like, you know.
Right. And if he balls out and earns the fourth year, then everybody's going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
But you can't listen. You can't be in a situation where the team has questions about your health and you're hurt and then ask for more money. You just can't. Right. You have to go about it. And what I would say is that I think Tyler needs to go about it, you know, carefully and don't make any demands, because then that's when you start the back and forth about, and then you get hurt feelings. Right. So I think as of right now, the way they're talking, everything is cool.
Well, Spo said this thing interesting yesterday. I was listening to some of his press conference from yesterday. And he referred to this year as like a new chapter of the franchise, which was basically him saying like, hey, this is the post Jimmy era. We're moving on. And
why they do everything without mentioning Jimmy? It's okay.
He's not mentioning Jimmy.
It's okay.
He's not mentioning Jimmy. We know. I know.
We know your ass was married and you on your second marriage.
Yeah.
He
who shall not be named is. But they're basically, he was like, yeah, this is a new chapter. And I kind of feel like, well, if you lock in to Tyler and Bam, you're not really on a new chapter. You're kind of like, nah, we're still on that chapter. And I just wonder, I feel like this is a year where if that's true, then have a year where everything plays out. See if Norman Powell's the guy. Norman Powell's got on an extension. See if Nico's the guy. Nico's up for an extension. See who, figure out who you actually think your guy, because you didn't think they were the guys. If you thought they were the guys, you would have traded for Kevin Durant. That was my whole point over the summer when I went Looney Tunes. Is like, if you would have thought these guys were the guys, then you would have gotten them a final piece.
Here's what I like. I like the fact that this team has managed to get younger and kind of take a different path and not doing it for the next 2 years. And I think that's what Kevin Durant would have. If you make that move for Kevin Durant, what doesn't guarantee you? Other than saying you have Kevin Durant on your team, like with everybody around, you didn't have Norman Powell at that time. You had Wiggins, you might have to give up Wiggins or work out another trade. And the team that you would have ended up with, can you honestly say even with Kevin Durant would have been as this good or this deep? So let's start there. So I'm not upset that they didn't bring in Kevin Durant, because where the rest of your team is much younger than Kevin Durant.
It's funny you mentioned
that. The oldest guy is what, 31?
Yeah, 31.
So
you got like that.
That's a relatively
that contingent
young
of,
team.
Yeah,
that contingent in today's basketball.
That contingent of Wiggins, Rozier, and Powell, all in that age group.
Rozier bringing down the average age.
You know what's crazy? Speaking of the old, I can't believe Kevin Love made it to Utah Jazz Media Day.
What?
I was like, wait a minute. I thought they were buying his ass out.
I didn't even know he was with Utah.
He was part of the trade, and then he got flipped to Utah, and then he shows up yesterday. He's got a Jazz jersey on the podium. I'm like, that's an upset. I would have thought for sure he was a Laker.
Wow.
Like, they're just not buying him out. They're like, yeah, we're not buying you out. He's like, why not? Yeah, we like you. He goes, I don't want you to like me. Get me out of here.
Make us stink.
He goes,
K-Love, start with the Instagram?
Wouldn't that be something?
He goes, Kevin.
A man with the name Kevin Love making a stink.
He's like, Kevin Love just starts acting like Jimmy Butler. It's like, listen, Kevin, here's the thing about Utah. We love the intangibles, dude. Love them. We're going to keep you around.
Is that all the things that Kevin Love have been through, right? He's not that guy. He's not the guy that's going to be anti-team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if he doesn't want to be there, he going to team it up. He going to play, you know, basketball and do what's asked of him.
I'm delighted right now because I just looked on our television, Leroy, and Bruce Arians is on the Pat McAfee show, and he's wearing a shirt that says, no risk it, no biscuit.
No.
Swear to God, dude.
Ha! I love him. I love Bruce Arians.
He told it like it was.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I think you have to be kind of aware of your own situation before you go in there and making demands. And that's why I think Tyler's saying, oh, well, we haven't really talked about it, and Max is not a definitive thing right now and whatever. Right? Like, really? Like, you know, let's just get back to playing basketball first, right? Because what happens in a lot of these situations is you get hurt, somebody come up, step up and ball out. Then they're like, right, that's the guy now. That's the new captain, right?
100%.
And it happens in sports all the time. So let's just be careful. How do you know that when he does come back, that this is not going to linger on until January till he feels 100%? And now you're in a situation where you never want to be in, but you're always in with Tyler Hero. Maybe not his own fault, but just what the situation is.
It has been what it is, right? Like, we're not trying to be jerks about it. It's just like, oh, you got hurt. Everybody, they went to the finals.
Wait, is there anybody more? Listen, we're being nice to it compared to what Pat Riley would be.
Yeah, Pat called him fragile.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't get a man that called you fragile. Can you honestly go ask him for money?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to just throw that out there. You can't say, hey, you know what? By the way, I'm up for the max. I don't need to give me the max, but.
Pat's like, max what?
Right.
Maxwell?
Yeah, that's what
max
I'm saying. Does that make sense that we sitting here having these conversations about all this? And he's in a situation where he's not even playing basketball.
Right.
I have a hard time. Like, you know how good you got to be to ask for a contract when you ain't playing?
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, exactly. It couldn't have come at a worse time for him.
Not for him, but I don't even – here's the kicker. Let's be clear. Are we even certain that if he was healthy, they would have gave him an extension?
No,
now?
I'm not. I'm not
so,
certain.
So think about that. Let's be realistic about it. With the questions that the organization has about Tyler Hero, right? And you know what? This group of guys right here would be more of a indication of what his impact would be when you got Wiggins and Powell on the same team and Bam, you know. Now we'll see, how does he fit in?
Mm-hmm.
Can he take over a game? Is he going to be that guy? Because what if we do, you know, go through this to try to see who is that guy? And it's Norman Powell.
Right.
That's a whole nother conversation. So the fact that, you know, he did the right thing, right, that just kind of shrugged it off, right? We ain't there yet or whatever, right? And just let it play out. Don't do... And we all, listen, recent history, we all all see how that plays out when with Pat Riley when you go grump belly on him.
Mm-mm.
Oh, grumpy, you know? It doesn't fare well. So I think he learned from that, and he's going to have a different path towards that.
We'll take a break. Mix things up on the other side.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. As your Miami Dolphins victorious last night, so we'll do a Fins mix bag as Vlad was boots on the ground. So this Jalen Waddle loves Tyreek Hill. That's his guy.
That's his twin.
That's his twin, dude. He loves him. He loves him. And so he said afterwards he had mixed emotions after the win, but Tyreek going down. Here was Waddle, baby, Waddle.
Yeah, definitely mixed emotions having, you know, one of our captains, leaders, and just the player that means so much to the team, you know. Prayers to him. It's tough. It's just sad, you know, anytime you see someone go down, but a guy, you know, that stature, what he means to the team, what he means to the game of football, just his legacy and everything that he, you know, did in his career is always tough. You know?
Would you say he took it the hardest, Vlad, yesterday in the locker room?
Yeah, I think so. Because he, they asked him, because, you know, reporters come in after talking to other players, so they come in late. So it was like the same question was repeated a couple of times, but it was asking how did he feel and what was Tyreek's remarks to the team, and it was basically the same. You know, he kept it light. He was cracking jokes, making everybody, I guess, feel better about the situation. But it affected him because that's his guy. Like, that's the guy he looked up to. He mentioned that Tyreek's a leader, and we all know that was a question coming into the season. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Leroy is muted.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Leroy.
You don't need to be a captain to be a leader. We need to get over that.
Right. No. Right.
Every leader on your team wasn't a captain, but I would say the fact that Waddle's saying that, and now keep in mind their relationship, and let's be clear, the relationship you have with your brethren in the same room may be different than the relationship you have throughout the offensive side of the ball. So if you are a wide receiver, Tyreek, all the wide receivers look up to Tyreek because they want what he wants. They want to be able to be explosive like
right.
They want to get that money like him. Whereas if you take Tyreek and put him just in the offense, there's other guys who may look at Tyreek and say that you need to be better with this, this, and this. And we all know what those issues were last year at the end of last year, right? But I would say the respect he has in that room is always going to be a lot different, especially to Waddle, because all those other guys have changed. Waddle and Tyreek were the only two that been there from the get-go.
4 years.
And so that is going to be a different relationship just in itself. So that means that when the situation happened at the end of the year, the way Waddle and Tyreek going to talk about it on the side is going to be different than how everybody else goes. So I could understand how he's hurting more than everybody else because their relationship is different. They're together all day. They're in the same room all day. They talking about, you know, football or whatever all day. So that relationship is going to be different. It's just like how my relationship is different with Robert Smith than it is with Randy Moss. Doesn't mean I don't have mad love for Randy Moss, but I was with Robert Smith 8 hours a day. all day. That relationship is different. So I understand why Waddle might be a little more hurt and how he said, no, that dude meant a lot to me. He was a leader to me, right? So, like, it, just understand that you might get different feelings. I think everybody's upset that he's hurt, right? Don't get me wrong. But what Waddle will say could be a little different than what somebody else would say.
Yeah, like Tyreek Hill could be sitting there joking with everybody else, and then he just brings Waddle in, like, just real close. He goes, I'm in so much pain. It really hurts.
Yeah, exactly. You know what?
Because you're handling
exactly. Exactly.
Because like, Tyreek, you're handling exactly. this really well. He goes, I'm in so much pain right now. Don't
the
tell anybody.
The thing that he would say to Waddle is going to be different because they got – it's almost like a brother versus a cousin. You know, you're still family. And you're going to respect that family. But your brother, y'all got a different relationship.
One family member who was super late to the reunion but had a hell of an entrance to the party, Darren Waller.
Darren Waller. I knew where that was going.
This was Mike McDaniel on Darren Waller's debut. Buckle up.
I know that you guys were waiting until Waller was totally ready to go. Could you imagine that he would have a debut quite like this, 2 touchdowns?
Yeah. You don't put in plays or have players play, with the expectation of, you know, anything but their best. I knew he was fully capable, and I just didn't want to, overcook it. He's
it's never stopped
him
before.
It inspires me, and I think it inspires his teammates. A guy that. Has a love for the game of football and does the journey to get back, and no one, everybody kind of, I think, empathized, but at the same time, it's tough when you get to a new team and then you're a partial participator, and it takes a while, and he's done is everything that he possibly can do and put his best foot forward, and has been a phenomenal contributor to our team. I think the guys have felt that he's been doing everything he can.
Stop, man. It's 2.5. This answer's 2 minutes and 38 seconds.
This is about 3 minutes long.
Check
okay?
this out.
What?
Check this out.
What?
First of all, somebody hit the -1 button.
Oh, I'm hitting it.
Hit it, and I'm going to tell you why.
-1.
Because a week ago, he sounded disgusted with Darren Waller.
Well.
Did he not?
That's a fact.
We were wondering if they were going to cut bait with Darren Waller.
Maybe it was for deception, throwing him off.
No, it wasn't.
Hey, bro.
Throw him off the scent.
He talked too much to be deceptive.
Yeah, your ass is on the form, and you can't be talking like that to be deceptive.
Yeah.
He was doing a little show me over here, but I'm really thinking this over here. He goes,
all illusion.
I bet you the Jets came in the last night having no thoughts Darren Waller was going to do anything.
Hell no.
No shot.
No one did.
We on the same sideline.
They all get the same transcripts. They know what Mike McDaniel said. Mike McDaniel.
Nobody's reading the Mike McDaniel transcripts.
they're very long.
I will say this. His debut was not like OBJ. OBJ looked like he was struggling to run.
No.
Darren Waller was moving.
It was an awesome story. Like, it really is. Look, Darren, I want to apologize. Now,
We're scarred.
We're scarred. We've seen this. We've seen what we thought was this act before. But you apparently, my friend, you marched to a different beat, and you actually did need time to get ready, and you balled out. Although, that second touchdown, I thought it could have gone to Julian Hill.
Did you have Julian Hill anytime
touchdown? You saw me send it out, right? Julian Hill caught one down the sideline.
It was goose.
I said, Julian Hill get ready to score because Waller's not in the game, right?
It's going to be super juicy next week because he was back up to plus 1,100, and now that Waller's caught 2 touchdowns, there's no he's going to be like plus 2,000 next week. This may be our time.
I mean, yeah. Throw it to your tall guy. And look, here we go. I want to see more. I'm like, dude, he ain't played football in 2 years, and the first thing you get is 2 touchdowns?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm good. That's pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean, like, right. I understand wanting to see more, but, like, you haven't played in 2 years. Pretty good.
Right.
Pretty good.
Right.
Very impressive. We'll take a break here on the show. Final hour coming on up. If you guys missed it, we had Norman Powell stop by early yesterday. We'll bring that to you as well. As the newest Miami Heat guard was a delight. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Back after this.
104.3 FM. WQAM. Miami Sports.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.